You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
If any of us have occasion to think of leprosy today, whatever vague idea we conjure up, it's probably going to be a condition that has come to be known as Hansen's disease, a once devastating skin disease for which we now have very effective treatment. Back in Jesus' day, leprosy probably included Hansen's disease, but on the whole, the term covered a wide variety of short-term contagious diseases. The Jewish rules about isolating lepers were essentially intended to be rudimentary public health measures. If any of you are in the medical profession, check out Leviticus 13 and 14 for instructions on how to deal with skin problems. Because it was common sense to protect the whole village from infection, anyone with a rash or sore, according to Leviticus, was exiled until it had healed, usually only 7 days or a couple of weeks. In effect, people were quarantined. Among other things, the local priest was also the public health official who pronounced the quarantine over. Now, why was the priest involved? Well, remember, back in the day, if you were sick, it was a religious issue. It was assumed that anyone with leprosy was being punished for their sins. So obviously, their sores or rash would last for as long as they deserved punishment for whatever it was that they did. Before you get all haughty over how much smarter we are today, remember that most people's gut reaction to something bad happening today is, what did I do to deserve this, right? So here we find Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. As he enters a village, he is confronted by 10 lepers who, while maintaining their social distance, cry out to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." What happens next is scandalous because, according to the rules, Jesus is circumventing God's will. Hey, who gave that guy the right to mess with God's plan? Then it gets even more scandalous because, there's a Samaritan involved. So let's join this story already in progress.
Our words of wisdom today come from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. Jesus was still pressing toward Jerusalem, taking a road that went along the border between Samaria, considered undesirable territory, and Galilee. On the outskirts of a border town along this road, he was greeted from a distance by a group of 10 people who were under quarantine because of an ugly and disgusting skin disease known as leprosy.
"Yo, sir, please, show us some sympathy here."
"Go now and present yourselves to the priests for inspection of your disease."
They went, and before they reached the priests, their skin disease was healed, leaving no trace of the disease that scarred them and separated them from the community. One of them, the instant he realized he had been healed, turned and ran back to Jesus, shouting praises to God. He prostrated himself face down at Jesus' feet.
"Thank you, thank you."
Now this fellow happened to be not a Jew, but a Samaritan.
"Didn't all 10 receive the same healing this fellow did? Where are the other 9? Was the only one who came back to give God praise an outsider?"
And Jesus said to the Samaritan man,
"Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you healthy again."
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Once upon a time, Mullah Nasruddin lost his lucky gold coin. For days, he searched everywhere for it, but it was not to be found. Finally, Nasruddin fell to his knees and prayed, "Oh Lord, I've lost my gold coin. I've done everything I know to do, but it's still missing. Please help me, Lord. It's my most precious possession. If you help me find it, I promise I will give half of my wealth to the poor." Nasruddin opened his eyes, and there, lying almost completely hidden under his prayer rug, was his lucky gold coin. Quickly, Nasruddin closed his eyes again and prayed, "Never mind, Lord. I found it myself." How quickly we become ungrateful when we have what we were after, huh? Certainly, that's the case of our lepers in today's story. But that's not all there is to it. Jesus' parables usually don't let you go without a little more bite than that. And while this one is about gratitude, it's also about norms and prejudices. To begin with, Luke is busy subverting a racist stereotype. In Jesus' own words, the man is a foreigner. You wouldn't expect a Samaritan to say thank you because, you know, y'all know what Samaritans are like. It's not difficult to find parallels in our own time. Y'all know what Muslims are like. It's still a common feeling among many Americans. Or we have people walking thousands of miles from Central America, risking their lives to have a chance at just a fraction of the life that we take for granted. We call them illegal and aliens instead of refugees. Just this week, the Arizona Republic reported that while the number of hate crimes across the nation have gone up in the last year to the highest level since 2008, cases in Arizona surged dramatically, up 40% in 2019 from the year before. 40%. These include hate crimes against Jews, the broad Latinx community, and LGBTQ folks. And it doesn't take much digging to reveal that many of these growing and devastating prejudices are often perpetuated by pious religious beliefs. So, in our passage today, Luke is not content to just shame the ungrateful Jews in the story. He rubs salt in the wound by having Jesus announce that this 10th leper, the only one to say thank you, is a Samaritan. But here's a little oomph to the story that the Greek reveals and English doesn't. In the original text, the nine were made clean, katharizo in Greek, to cleanse. It's where we get the word cauterize, katharizo. But the Samaritan, the one that religious people used as an example of all that was worthless and unrighteous, was made sozo in Greek. In other words, healed, preserved, saved, made whole. So yeah, this is a simple lesson about saying thank you, but that only goes part of the way. Giving thanks can help save us from idolatry and greed, from being possessed by our possessions. Giving thanks keeps our values clear and our priorities straight. Giving thanks saves us from foolish pride and self-delusion and reminds us that there's no such thing as a self-made person. All that we have and any good that we represent comes from the grace of our circumstances, capacities that were gifted to us at birth, and the blessings of those around us. We have so much. It's hard to comprehend how fortunate we are. And yes, we do have challenges, struggles, and problems in life, but looking at our circumstance in general and how brutally the pandemic has been affecting various socioeconomic classes and races across the country, those of us associated with the fountains have generally been truly fortunate beyond belief. Our temptation is not only taking it for granted, but looking at others who are less fortunate and somehow thinking that they are less worthy somehow. So this is not just a simple story reminding us to be thankful. It's Jesus' not so subtle way of putting his self-righteous fellow Jews in their place for their arrogance and demonization of the other, in this case, Samaritans. That's a word we need to hear for this day. As Joe Friday used to say, only the names have been changed. Look, our world is pretty messed up. To the mix of everyday challenging relationships, violence, injustice, and just the general crazy things people do, add the pandemic spiking, political turmoil, and the rise of a universe of alternative facts. It would be easy to spiral into bitterness and ingratitude. But there's an old proverb that says, if you've forgotten the language of gratitude, you'll never be on speaking terms with happiness. And it turns out this isn't just a fluffy idea. Science says that gratitude makes you happier and healthier. If you slip into a way of seeing the world that is mean and frustrated, you're going to get a world that is mean and frustrating. But if you can find authentic reasons to give thanks, anything that is going right with the world or your life, and put your attention there, then statistics say you're going to be better off. We naturally give thanks for things we perceive to be beneficial and try to avoid misfortune. But if we could see the grand interweaving of the events of our lives, we might be surprised. Opportunities for gratitude lie embedded in bad news just as often as in good news. I've told this story too many times, but it's just too good to not share again. You remember the Chinese story of the poor farmer with just one horse? Well, it escaped. The neighbors came by to console him, saying, oh, bad luck. But the farmer said, good luck, bad luck. Who knows? The next day, the horse returned with a whole herd of wild horses. The neighbors were quick to congratulate him. Good luck! But he said, good luck, bad luck. Who knows? The next day, while trying to tame one of the wild horses, the farmer's son broke his leg. The neighbors came by to console him, saying, oh, bad luck. But the farmer said, good luck, bad luck. Who knows? The next week, the army marched into town and forcefully conscripted every able-bodied young man to go fight in a bloody war. Ah, but the farmer's son has a broken leg, so he's left at home. The neighbors are quick to congratulate him. Oh, good luck. But he said, good luck, bad luck. Who knows? Life is like that. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. When I look at my own life, I can say with confidence that even the things that were pretty miserable had, if I cared to look, life-changing and character-building effects. Even the moments that were so painful that I still don't know what to do with them have made me grateful for the little things that make life worth living. And one thing you can rest assured of, bad luck times are often times that remind me of one sure thing, that I can't do it alone. Even if it's the neighbors coming over saying, oh, bad luck, the fact is that they're there to console, encourage, and be with one another. So good luck, bad luck, who knows? Truth is, for most of us, it's good luck most of the time. And Jesus just wants to tweak us a little and remind us to not get too puffed up about deserving our good fortune. One last thing. When Jesus sends the Samaritan off, he says one of the most amazing things. It always makes me pause and smile. He says to the one who'd returned, who happened to be a Samaritan, an outsider, an enemy of the Jews, "Go your way, for your faith has made you whole." Your faith, in Greek the word is pistis, or trust. Your trust has made you well. Not God, not Jesus, not his religion. Healing his body didn't make the man whole. His response to the healing is what made him truly whole. His expression of gratitude. And that's why our stream of thought harkens back to the wisdom of medieval theologian Meister Eckhart. If the only prayer you say in your whole life is thank you, that would suffice. And even if life seems to be full of insurmountable challenges, and even a thank you seems too much of a challenge, maybe the advice of Coach John Wooden would make sense to you. Things turn out best for people who make the best of the way things turn out. In her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, The Three Essential Prayers, Anne Lamott writes, "Gratitude begins in our hearts and then dovetails into behavior. It almost always makes you willing to be of service, which is where the joy resides. It means that you are willing to stop being such a jerk. When you are aware of all that has been given to you in your lifetime and in the past few days, it's hard not to be humbled and pleased to give back." Do you want to take action to make this parable make a difference? You can. You can start by paying attention to who your neighborhood Samaritans are. Who have you in your heart, or we as a culture, set aside for dehumanization? Who do we feel okay about not caring about or dismissing as a crank? It's not easy, I know, but it's worth the risk. And remember, team, whatever happens, things turn out best for people who make the best the way things turn out. So get out there and be thankful and be well. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.